Before we get to this week's edition of The Wiggle Room, I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast, those are friends over at True Car, who have some useful tips that you might not know about, that a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. I bet a Wiggler's Wombat hat and a little bit of olive oil would do the same exact thing. You could also remove excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, and you can also place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. That's weird. Here's another weird tip that you might not know about. True Car can also help you find a used car as well. That's right. True Car isn't just for buying a new car. With the True Car Certified Dealer Network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 billion cars, you'll enjoy pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other users paid, so you know if you're getting a good deal before you buy, and they're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when they connect with True Car Certified Dealers. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Check it out.
Josh.
Yes, that's right. We are here in the Wiggle Room. Sans Josh Wiggler, it's his 1 week off a season. That's all we're going to give him. If he puts in for two, that's it. He's out. He's done. No more Wiggle Room. Okay. But we have a great fill in for Josh, sitting in for Josh Wiggler, who is on assignment, the great Jessica Leese. Jess, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I understand that Josh is letting us use his room as long as we don't touch any of his stuff. And frankly, this stuff's kind of creepy, so I'm going to keep hands off.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, don't touch his stuff. He's going to come home and say, who moved this? So happy to have you here, Jess. We only spoke but 24 hours ago about this week's Walking Dead episode, as we have been doing all season long on post-show recaps.
I mean, everything's coming up, Jess, this week. Like, this, literally, I'm the third Jessica to be on your podcast. Also, we had a great Walking Dead episode, really fun podcast. And now, as maybe the world's biggest wand-off stan, I get to be on the Wiggle Room. Like, this is ghost, man.
This is ghost. Yes, okay, well, happy to have you here, Jess. Don't talk about the wand-off too much just yet. Have people complained yet that we have too many Jessicas on the podcast? Have we heard that complaint?
No, but I'm sure it's coming.
Okay. All right. Well, be on the lookout for that. Coming soon. That's it. Should we have the next time on the comments?
I think now that we've put it out in the universe, we're definitely going to get some complaints about hashtag Jessica Week.
Yeah. Now, Josh Wiggler has said he has not been watching the next time on Survivor segments in the previews at the end of the episode. Although I have seen from a lot of people about how while we've talked about how the challenges seem to be further up in the episode, this has been 2 weeks in a row that we've seen big sequences in the next time on that take place after a tribe loses the immunity challenge. This week, none of the stuff with Seabass and Jenna took place before the challenge, and that was featured prominently in the next time on Survivor clip. Were you tipped off that we were going to see Malolo go to tribal council because of that?
I think I was tipped off that we were going to see Malolo go to tribal council because they're a terrible tribe that loses all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Yeah. Although that I don't feel like that the challenges have been blowouts. Do you?
No, they've always, at least the editors are at least giving a good illusion that they are close. And they do seem like, to their credit, Malolo is not oolonging it up in here.
Yeah.
They're doing pretty well. They're right up in there, but I do think it's kind of, they have no momentum.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to keep going like that. So a tribe swap next week, I think, is going to be best thing for everybody on that tribe.
Okay. So Jess, this was an episode that focused on which of the Malolos was going to go home. It ultimately was Stephanie. Were you a big Stephanie fan?
To be honest, Stephanie surprised me. She was my pick for first one out because I thought she had that sort of Katrina vibe to her where she was really kooky. She had the like, she was practically wearing tie dye. And it just felt
What's
to me
wrong
like,
with that?
I mean, I guess it gets you to the final four twice out of your four times out. But, you know, let's not forget Rupert was the first one out, too. But I think she just didn't seem like she fit with the rest of the group. And sometimes that can be good and sometimes it can be bad. But she's also a demographic that has a really rough time in those first few days. And, you know, it does pain me to say that she is the token old mom of the season when she is like, I don't even think we are close enough in age that we would have been at high school at the same time. That's how much younger she is than I am. But
yeah. Well, yeah, she turned out better than we thought, and it was definitely sad to see her go this week. But I want to talk a little bit about, you know, where we are in the game. And it was an episode that really focused on, you know, who was going home. But we have to start now looking ahead in terms of, you know, where this story is going. I do want to touch on a couple of things from the secret scenes this week. And I want to point these out. These were a couple of clips from the secret scenes that Shannon Gates had pulled out for me. Going back to post-challenge at Malolo, there was a little bit of discussion that I had with Steven the other night, whether or not it could have been a throne challenge. And I think that Stephanie sort of put that to bed. But in a secret scene, Kellen talked a little bit about maybe was there a silver lining in potentially Malolo going to tribal council. Here is Kellen from the secret scene talking about after the challenge.
I am coming back from the challenge, thinking about what spot I'm in, and maybe tribal tonight isn't that much of a bad thing for me. I'm still sitting with the numbers. The Malolo three are still at the bottom. If we're talking about, you know, even if we lose out between now and the merge, we're getting close enough that sometimes going in to the merge with less numbers overall. So if they keep eight and we're down to five, yeah, if they have eight and we're down to five when we go into the merge, you know, that's where you can start to work your way into the cracks and do all of that. I feel like the big alliances break down at the merge more so when we're on individual tribes.
Okay, so interesting. It sounds like Kellen is describing what appears to be discussing a potential, if not intentional, then a, you know, I'm not mad at it, Matt Singh, in terms of
complacent Matt Singh.
Yeah, like if it happens, it happens. Do you feel like, is that how it works? That if they go into the merge with the Malolo 5, and obviously we know a swap is coming, but they don't know that. If they went into the merge with a Malolo 5, is that the kind of group that you feel like would probably be in the best position?
You know, I don't really think so. I think that you do want to have a group that's pretty tight and you'd want to be fairly unbreakable. But you're also, if you're just going to pick people off until the merge, you go in untested.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also a lot of people that you already know. And I don't think Kellen can be super secure in her five when there are people that she was close to and that everybody else in her group was close to on the other tribe that they're going to then reunite with. Some of those people could work their way in, and pretty soon she's like a surprise merge boot and she didn't see it coming because she thought, oh, I'm just going to ride this five to the end. And I honestly don't think that's something that she could count on at this point. I mean, it's good to have that group of five, but when you're merging at 12 or 13, there are a lot of people out there that could work their way into your five, and your five is not going to be as solid as you want it to be for long.
Right. And the other side, they have nine, correct? So it would be, she would have to assume that the new Naviti really just, you know, kind of clicked, but is fractured. And then they're going to be picking each other off. It's almost like it's weird to that she's from Naviti originally. So I could see like the Malolo people. Like, I feel like that if Jenna and Michael were having that type of conversation, talking about like, hey, at least, you know, if we're the only Malolos left, maybe the bigger group will start to pick each other off. But it would be weird for part of the bigger, like a subset of the bigger group, to feel that way.
Yeah, I think the bigger group might just they might try to work their way into the five if they sense that the five could make something happen. But it's more likely that they'll just look at this smaller minority and say, hey, maybe this gets us a little bit further in the game where we don't even have to think about it.
Yeah. Another thing from the secret scenes that a couple of people asked me to mention that we discussed, well, could Bradley have been throwing the immunity challenge based on his secret scene? It does not seem that that was the case either, but people really liked the opening of Bradley's secret scene this week.
The immunity challenge was terrible.
It's like a Charles Barkley terrible.
Yeah, next season, can you get Bradley in to judge the... to judge this whole thing, like get him on the Wiggle Room?
Yeah, you think he could be like the Simon Cowell of the Wiggle Room?
I think he could. I think there's a real future in it for Bradley.
Yeah. Bradley, what'd you think of that latest entry?
Terrible.
Yeah, so he didn't like it. Okay.
Terrible.
Yes. All right. Jess, so let me ask you another question before I have an activity planned for us. So this, I looked through all of the comments to see what types of things people were chatting about, if there were any sort of storylines that we didn't touch on. I thought this was an interesting one from Sarah Madrista in the comments, and she went on to say in the know-it-alls comments section, I'm surprised that Rob and Steven didn't discuss how James isn't on the same page as Laurel when it comes to which side they're going to take in the Chris versus Dominic war. Okay, Jess, I know tribe swap is coming, but how do you see the original Malolo people dealing with the situation going on with the Naviti original group that is also fractured?
Well, you've got such a big group over there, and you've got two people butting heads. I think all you have to do in that situation is figure out who all of their allies are behind. And then look at who's on which team. Figure out if one team's bigger, just pick off the other team, or unite with the smaller team and then make one big team there. You kind of have three factions then, because you have the two splinters of old Navitis, and then you have old Malolos. And so old Malolos just look at which Naviti would they rather be with, and they can make a choice based on how many people are on which sides or which people are on which sides.
Yeah. No, I do feel like that whatever ends up being left of Malolo, where I think like what Kellen was talking about, I think will apply to whatever Malolo survive the pre-merge. And then I do think that they are going to be kingmakers to some degree and set up in a really good spot post-merge.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility, especially since, you know, they're going to merge before any faction, any one faction has had the chance to be totally pegonged.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jess, we have a swap on the horizon, and it looks like we will have a swap coming up this week. What we don't know exactly is, will we swap to three tribes or swap to two tribes and send somebody to Ghost Island? Do you have a feeling about how this is going to go?
Well, I think three tribes sounds like the direction it's going in. I think that's worked really well in the past. I think it makes for a more exciting time, and I think it helps the viewer to get to know individuals better. So from an editor's standpoint, I would be rooting for three tribes. And from a viewer standpoint, I like the possibility that opens up when you have three tribes of five, because there is no room for anybody to hide anywhere. And you have the potential of putting some really interesting groups together.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that last season we started with three and we swapped to three. And I would argue that maybe we should have swapped from three to two last season, but maybe we spent too long of the game in that second swap. Like, I feel like that those 2 weeks back to back where it was the Rourke boot and then the Alley boot right after that, I feel like that the game was a little bit stale. At that point in time, I think that that was getting into sort of like a, you know, a little bit of a, you know, the pre-merge was slow in Survivor 35, whereas in season 33, they started out in two tribes, stayed in two tribes for a while, and then swapped to three. And I feel like that those were, you know, the game kind of picked up when they went to three tribes there. So it could really go either way, but I don't think that they've swapped from two to two and then to two again, I think, since Gabon. I think that might be the only time that they've ever done that.
Yeah, and that was really, I think that many swaps of two tribes really starts to feel like a contrivance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had a hard time following Gabon because I'm like, wait, I thought those people were on this tribe. When you have three, there's a clear separation.
And if I recall, I do think that it just made it very easy to pick off people from the other group where they're really, I don't think that there was a ton of cooperation. I know that Marcus goes out in one of those votes and it escapes me who, if they did it for only, would they do it for maybe only one vote and Marcus ended up going out in that vote. But anyway, let's not quiz me on Gabon right now. So I think they're going to go to three, and I think it'll be interesting because I think that then you get some really interesting combinations. And so, Jess, I am assuming if we're going to merge at 13 because of the legacy advantage, we may have two votes here where we go down to these groups of three tribes. And what I would like to do is have a draft with you to see if we can draft the players that will be voted out here during the swap and before the merge. And I think that this is a kind of a fun exercise. We don't know what the tribes are going to be. It's really just based on what's happened so far. You could have somebody like a Rourke last season who was in a perfectly fine position who gets completely screwed. So you have to sort of think about that. And then, Jess, I feel like that this draft should have some stakes. So you and I should draft seven people. One person goes to Ghost Island. That's the person that nobody has. But I think that we should have a stake for this bet.
A steak. I like steak.
Yes. No, not like a well-done steak like Joe Mena might enjoy, Jess. But I think that there should be something on the line here. And I think that it should be something very embarrassing where I think that the loser of the bet should have to be photographed wearing a Wiggler's Wombats baseball hat.
I think Josh must have anticipated this, and now I feel like I just got long conned because last week he's like, hey, what's your address? I'd like to thank you for being in the Wiggle Room. Can I send you a hat? Oh, I see your evil plan now.
Yes. Okay. Are those Who's acceptable yours? Stakes for you?
I would accept that.
Okay. Now, here's the tiebreaker. So it's like, okay, well, what if you pick one person and I pick one person? Okay. So I think it should be, you should get points for picking your person earlier. What do you think of that? Or do you want to go by total votes?
I think picking earlier is okay.
Okay. All right. So hypothetically, if my person ends up going, if it's split and then I picked my person that got out in the second round, you picked yours in the seventh round, then I am officially the winner of the bet. It's a little bit like a best ball here.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that.
Okay, and if we both pick a person in the third round, then we'll go by total number of votes. And if it's still a tie after that, then I don't know. Then I don't know what. Then it's off. It's null and void.
Can I raise the stakes?
Okay, you may.
I'm raising the stakes here. The loser of the bet.
Not wearing a Kalish kangaroo's hat over my dead body.
All right. Well, I don't have one handy. Unfortunately, I was told my Kalish kangaroo's hat is on back order.
Yes.
But I think the loser of the bet not only has to be photographed in the Wiggler's Wombat's hat, loser of the bet must change their photo on social media. For one week.
Oh, my God. Like what? Like Twitter and Facebook?
Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to do it on LinkedIn.
I'd have to change my profile. I don't think I've changed my profile on LinkedIn in like 8 years. Okay. All right. Whoa. Okay. Now we're really. All right. Now.
Now we're cooking.
Boy, now we got some skin in the game, I guess. Boy. Yeah. All right. There you go. All right, Jess. So how are we doing the draft order? Snake draft. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You want the first pick? How are we doing this?
You can take the first pick and I'll take the second two.
Okay. All right. So I will go with the first pick overall in the swap boot draft. And I have to go ahead and take the number one pick on the board and drop the mic. I'm going to take Chris Noble.
Mic drop.
Well, that's like a free throw.
Yes.
It's not pay-per-view. It's a free show.
That's my number one pick for person going out at the swap.
Yeah, I think that's a fair pick. And I think a lot of this comes down to, like, which faction do you think is going to win out? And there's a couple of factions going on right now. And so you just kind of have to say, I think Team Dominic wins over Team Chris. And I think that's a fair pick.
Yeah. And also that I think that he has, you know, original Naviti potentially gunning for him, that he could end up with a bunch of Malolo people who want to take him out as a number. He demonstrated what a physical threat he is. He doesn't necessarily, have the greatest social game where he's, rubbed some people the wrong way. Not that he's done anything that's abhorrent, but you saw even, Laurel was asked, in a vacuum, who does she prefer, Wendell or Chris? And even though that, it was maybe better for her game numbers wise to go with Chris, she still liked Wendell better. So I will go with Chris Noble.
Okay.
You get two in a row now.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do some safe picking too.
Okay.
I'm going to go all purple here.
All right.
With the number two pick, Lisa's Llamas select Purple Angela.
Purple Angela.
And with my number three pick, I'm choosing Purple Chelsea.
Purple Chelsea. Okay.
And my rationale here, I'm just saying, they're both so invisible. They have zero story. One of them is going to get the Julia ice cream edited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you feel like that no story makes you feel like that they are more likely to go out earlier? Or do you feel like that obviously you don't feel that way, but that they don't have story that is yet to come?
I think at least one of them has no story.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going with. They haven't done anything. We haven't had a chance to see them do anything. I think it's more likely one of them gets swap screwed and voted out, and that's their entire Survivor experience.
Okay. All right. So, boy, this is tricky here. I've got two picks in a row, and I will go out there and say that I think that one of my two picks has to be Michael. I think that while he has done a great job so far, that he is at least, has the appearance of being a threat. And I think that he could find himself down in the numbers with Naviti people and end up being a target. He sort of fits the profile as somebody that we have to watch for after the merge. And so give me Michael on my group. And then I'm also going to say, give me the Libster.
Oh, that's a good pick. That was going to be my next one.
She could rub people the wrong way. Who knows that, she is another one of these people that I believe was on the Chris side at original Naviti. So give me Libby.
Yeah, and she's been talked about a lot in these exit interviews as being a real shark, and she's got a lot of game, and she's ice cold, and I can't tell if that means she goes far or if she's someone that everybody befriended at Ponderosa and is really high on because of that.
Okay. All right. So back to you. Pick 6 and 7.
All right. I think it might be a little early for this to happen, but I know it's coming. But I'm going to go ahead and go with Bradley here.
Bradley.
I know that guy's headed for a downfall. I think it comes a little later, but it would be kind of delicious if he got swap screwed.
Bradley, what do you think of that pick?
Terrible.
Okay. Yeah. It could happen. It could happen. He looks like a threat. Could get in with the wrong group. And all right, you need a number 7 pick.
I need number 7 pick, and I think I'm just gonna go with your opposite number here, Rob, and I'll choose Dominic here.
Yeah,
because I think Dominic, he's a tricky one. I think he's got a huge personality. He's being set up to go further, but we didn't see anything of him this week. So what's he doing? Why don't the editors think we care about what he's doing? Like, we saw a lot of him really early on, and now we're not seeing any of him. That might add up to him going out early.
Okay. All right. Look, it's a good pick. He has his idol, but he could go home with it. The same tribe could lose twice. He could end up wasting it. All right. So,
all this stuff is cursed, right?
Yes, that's true. That is very, very true. Okay. So, I am going to say that I could see a scenario where James is targeted, that he could end up in a group where Malolo is down in the numbers and they say, okay, this guy looks like that he is a physical threat. And you could see people that maybe if it looks like that there was any sort of residual animosity between the Malolo and the Naviti from the Morgan vote, where we've seen Libby and Donathan make inroads with Wendell and Dominic, then we didn't really see James in those conversations. So I'll say that there's a chance James could go out in the swap. And then I will say likewise how you thought that Dominic could go out. Now, here's Wendell, who no longer has any protection from Dominic's real idol or fake idol. I could see somebody wanting to take a shot at Wendell because of proximity to Dominic when he might be vulnerable here. So I'll take Wendell with the 9th pick overall.
All right, that's fair. I mean, we were all really high on Wendell in the preseason, but we've only seen a very small piece of him.
Yeah.
Like enough that we know who he is, but not enough that I feel confident in his long-term chances.
He's been good so in the challenges, but he's avoided the tribal council for 4 out of the 5 votes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to go a little unorthodox here.
Ooh, okay.
For my next 2 picks, how about I take the showmans?
Oh, okay.
I'll take Sebastian and I'll take Jenna.
Seabass and Jenna. Okay. Is that officially Seabass in the 5th round?
Yeah, that's Seabass in the 5th round.
Okay. And Jenna in the 6th round. Okay. Talk me through that. Why do you think the showmans could be vulnerable?
I think the showmans could be vulnerable because it is a cross tribal showmans of sorts. You have 2 people that didn't start out together and 2 people that may not be like Jenna is not in the core 5. And I see people like if there's a chance to split them up and keep Seabass in the fold, so to speak, I think people will take it.
Mm hmm. Okay.
But you don't want him to get love goggles, get distracted, be a number for the other side. And that's exactly what I think Jenna is trying to do. Like, I think a lot of this showmancy stuff is a very self-preservation kind of move. And I think if someone picks up on that, they're going to be threatened by it. They're going to take whichever one of them out that they can take out. And then I think it's a possibility if one goes out the first week, the next one, next week, we
quits.
See the other one go out.
Yes, it could be like a John Rocker, Julie McGee situation.
Yeah, just throw themselves on their sword because they can't stand to be without their loved one. No, I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that a lot of times these showmances tend to go out in close proximity to each other. Even if you get rid of one faction, the other faction's still there and you can never fully trust them again because you saw that they're distractible.
Okay. All right. Then I've got 2 picks in a row. Just to reset who's still on the board, Kellen, Desiree, Laurel, and Donathan. Okay, so I will have 2 more picks. Jess will have 1, and 1 person is going to Ghost Island, and they will be safe. And I guess that, I mean, you're going to have whoever is left, so I don't mind necessarily talking through what's going on. Kellen is my winner pick. I feel like she's been very good. I feel like that she's safe here. So for me, it's between Desiree, Laurel, and Donathan. And so I feel like that, well, Laurel is the original Malolo. She could be down in the numbers. And, you know, she demonstrated being a physical threat in that challenge. So I guess give me Laurel here at the end of round 6, 12th overall. And boy, I do think that Donathan is going to go far, but I guess, you know, he's an original Malolo too, could end up down in the numbers and in a bad situation. So I will take Donathan with the 13th pick overall.
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid.
Okay. And so now, Jess, 1 person is going to Ghost. 1 person is your 7th and final member of the Who's Getting Voted Out after the swap draft.
So we got Desiree and we got Kellen.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't think Kellen's going anywhere anytime soon. Like, she just seems like she's sticking.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta go with Desiree here. And I think it's fair. Like, we got enough Desiree story.
This is terrible news for Kellen because this is her biggest fear.
My biggest survivor fear.
Is it really? Kellen, the spirits are listening. You may be heading to ghosts.
Oh, poor Kelly N.
You could be headed to ghost right now. Okay, well, she's not going to play a game. We know that.
Yeah, clearly not.
All right.
Yeah, P.S., anybody out there that says that Survivor is fixed need only look at what a non-starter this Ghost Island thing has been so far.
All right. So tell me about your pick, Desiree.
Oh, God. Well, I think Desiree has she's shown enough game, like she's played enough of a role that we know who she is. We know that she's holding some puppet strings right now. And I think all of that spells she is ripe for a swap screwing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. She's somebody else who is an original Naviti, but is somebody who was probably more on the Chris side of things than the Dominic side of things, based on some of the reporting from the exit interview. So it could happen. It could happen. All right. So just to reset. Okay. This is Rob's team of the people that could go out in the next couple of weeks. Okay. In sequential order from round taken, Chris Noble. We have Michael, we have Libby, we have James, we have Wendell, we have Laurel, and we have Donathan. And then Team Jess, the Lisa's Llamas, is Angela, Chelsea, we have Bradley, we have Dominic, we have Seabass, we have Jenna, and we have Desiree, and nobody has Kellen. Boy, if Kellen gets voted out this week, it would create so much tension for that next vote.
Yeah, but it would be really easy for us to figure out who loses if that happens.
Why?
Because then the following week, we vote one other person out. That person is going to be by default on one of our teams.
Yeah.
So we know who lost.
Yes. Well, yeah, we'll know. Yeah, but it'll be so much like it'll be like a nil-nil. Is that right? Is that what it's called in soccer? I don't know.
Sure. It's like love in tennis.
Yes. Okay. It'll be a real pitcher's duel in extra innings, 0-0. Okay. Jess, we've got a big musical number coming up soon. But before we get to that, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of The Wiggle Room. And those are our friends over at CanvasPeople.com. Canvas People, they turn all of your photos into gorgeous works of art. Jess, as a mom, do you find that you can ever have enough pictures of your beautiful child at your house?
I think there's maybe no limit. I think the limit does not exist.
Yes. Okay. Well, my wife is pushing for that limit if there is one, because that you can take all of your photos from your phone, from your camera. You go to canvaspeople.com. Upload those photos. Don't let them waste away on Instagram. Even if they did change the algorithm now, those pictures get pushed down when people add new ones. They never get pushed down when they're hanging up on your wall. They've got a great offer for our listeners. Get a Canvas People 11 by 14 print for $0 pricing. You just pay the shipping. It's a $69.99 value. Could not be easier to do. Just go to Canvas People, upload your photo, select that 11 by 14 size, and you can go ahead and try it out for that $0 pricing. Makes a great gift for any occasion at canvaspeople.com. Just go to canvaspeople.com, upload that photo, and use that special promo code RHAP. This is a special offer for the Rob Has a Podcast listeners. Go to canvaspeople.com today and use the promo code RHAP to get your free prints. Now, Jess, when we are taking the picture of us in the Wiggler's Wombat's hat, does the picture also need to be commemorated with a canvas photo?
You know, I didn't think of that, but I almost think that needs to happen now.
Yes, although
I'm loving that this is such a low stakes bet, and we've just like ramped the stakes up to a million. It just keeps getting better and better.
Yes,
I will take that bet.
Okay. Now, how will it go over when I have to tell my wife why we have a picture of you wearing the Wiggler's Wombat's hat hanging up over our mantle?
Well, aren't you just going to hang it next
to you? Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. And you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life. If you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here.
Here we are, Jess. It's your favorite time of the week. Time for The Wand Off, season 36.
Oh, my God. This is like, I don't even think I can describe how elated I feel right now. I'm so excited for this. Like, I have said before that there's a very short list of things that bring me pure, unadulterated joy. Mm-hmm. It's like Dunkin' iced tea and toddler hugs and The Wand Off.
Okay, good. I'm happy to be on that list of a few of your favorite things. It's coming soon to a Wand Off at some point. Okay, Jess. And then before we get to that, let me also just play you. I had an alternate intro sent in to us. This is from Graham from the Bay. He sent this in this week.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
All right. Thank you to Graham from the Bay for that, from the Love You Bay area. Okay. Jess, so we got to talk about last week's Wand Off entries. And we have, of course, the tabulator. Kurt Clark has gone through, tabulated all of the results. And we have those for you here. Of course, with the results, all precincts now reporting in third place this past week in episode number 4. It was the trifecta of Aaron Robertson, Amy Howard, and Jordan Kalish with the Brendan Shapiro opera, Get Malolo.
Oh, my God. These guys are such robbed G-Dot Odysseys.
Yes. Okay. They still have not claimed a Wand-Off victory. Two silver medals in a row, and they add a bronze to the total. Okay. Wand-Off finalist last year. Shannon Gates and Will come in second place with Teenage Jurger.
Woohoo.
Okay. And the winner of the episode 4 Wand-Off, Jess, with 27% of the vote, newcomer Corey B with Whiny.
I'd rather be whiny, like a lawyer who knows details like a pro. They all know that I can be whiny.
Yes.
Making people write out hope.
Congratulations, Corey. The audience loves the Disney parodies.
Well, who doesn't, really? I mean, the Moana soundtrack is in heavy rotation in our house. So I was especially charmed by this entry.
Yes. Okay. Now, Jess, another thing that people had been requesting for quite some time was, in addition to, we want to hear more Wand Off. We set up the SoundCloud where anybody who is a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, even at the lowest of levels, they have access to the weekly Wand Off playlist. This week, I believe 28 tracks are uploaded to the Wand Off playlist for episode number 5. So you guys asked, we delivered on that. But people had also been asked, and I think it was Taylor Cotter who first wrote on Twitter about this, about how there needs to be some sort of catalog where I can see all of the Wand Off songs that have been done so people don't duplicate past Wand Off entries. You missed a wiggle room, and then it would be, you know, unseemly for somebody to send in a Wand Off song that's already been done, a popular Wand Off song. So what we have done now on the great Rob Has a Podcast wiki, which you can access anytime at robhasawebsite.com/wiki, we have now included the top 5 finalists, or the finalists for every single week of the Wand Off, going back to the inception of the Wand Off. Go to robhasawebsite.com/WandaWiki, and you will go to that page directly. And you can also see links to the music videos for all of the Wandoff finalists that have been produced every week by the great Jason Curtis Rivera.
That's amazing.
Okay. All right.
I love that people love it this much.
All right. Well, we are trying to, we're playing to our core demo. We're trying to, that for the Wandoff super fans, we are catering to you guys at the expense of all the Wandoff casuals.
Well, here's my challenge for everybody this week. I want y'all to go out and find somebody in your life that you love very much, that you're very close to, who does not watch Survivor, and try to explain to them what appeals to you about the Wandoff.
Okay.
It's a fun challenge.
Yeah, let us know the results of that. Okay. All right. And let's bring in the host of the Wandoff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it's an honor to be back here with you. And even if Josh Wiggler is not here. Yes, thank you, Casey. Thank you, Casey. All right. Let's get into this week's honorable mentions and dishonorable mentions. And the first one comes to us from Melissa from Pennsylvania. And Melissa is very sad to see the Run It Mom run out of the game.
Tribal council was so ghost. You got your torch snuffed by probes, and now it's time for you to go. But Wentworth came back from 15, so you can hold this in the sand. You'll get voted in by fans. Wish you would have gotten a demo stand. So you could fight time your whole tribe with an epic stick. But since you did not win on Ghost Island, I put you in a second chance. You have gotten a game on stride. I put you in a second chance. You have gotten a game on stride.
A beautiful song from the band Third Eye Blindside.
That was lovely.
Beautiful song.
Beautiful harmonies, yeah.
Okay, this week we have a first-timer in the honorable mentions. He sent in a couple of songs, and here he is. It's Michael Clark with a song about the reasons why Stephanie cast her vote for Desiree.
But now, this new tribe is three to five. We're down in the votes, so hopelessly I voted for you. Hopelessly I voted.
That was a beautiful song from Olivia Jamie Newton-John.
I admire the passion and enthusiasm that went into that one.
Belting it out.
That's a challenging song.
Nice use of the comma. Hopelessly, I voted for you.
Yeah, great punctuation.
Next up is a listener named Jordan from San Jose. And he's got a song about Jenna Bowman's strategy with Seabass.
Sebastian, you got what I need. Cause I need to make a friend, or my game is going to end. Sebastian, you like Laffy Taffy. So I'll let you smell my hair. It's Dead Weasel if you care.
That was
wow.
A classic by the artist Biz Marquesas.
That was lovely. And I appreciate when, like, any karaoke artist knows what lane they need to stay in. That guy knows.
This next one is a song from a listener named Dave from Utah. And he's also talking about Survivor's newest showmance.
She's flirting with Seabass. She's braiding his hair. If all goes to plan, she ain't going nowhere. Because she's braiding, flirting, and things like that. Weasel sense hair, Vinny's a wombat hat. Braiding and flirting, and things like that. Weasel sense hair, Vinny's a wombat hat. She's flirting with Seabass. Weasel sense hair, Vinny's a wombat hat.
That was a hit from the group Ryan Kaken.
That was pretty cheap.
It's the biggest stretch of the week. There's not a lot of things that rhyme with cake.
I guess not.
We were thinking about the cake that Andrea got all over her face in Redemption Island. That's how much of a stretch of things.
Go with the cake that Eric licked off of Cerie's fingers.
Tried to work in AK from Australian Survivor, and it wasn't happening.
Well, that's an even further stretch because that's in Australia.
Mm-hmm. All right. Poor Jonathan. Very sad this week. Lindsay was thinking about him and his relationship with his grandmother back home this week.
Whoa, mi mamia, I'm on a show right now, and I'm getting a good edit, mi mamia.
Wow.
That was the from the musical, Mama Mia Galeazzo Laza.
Valiant.
From the amazing band James and Abba.
All right, there we go. That's my wheelhouse.
I had to go back and read this a couple of times. Mia Galeotalaza. That's a real last name.
That's longer. It takes longer to say that than she was actually in Vanuatu.
Yeah, if I had multiple choices, Jess, that I would not have gotten Mia Galeotalaza from Survivor Vanuatu.
All right. Well, I appreciate the poll.
Okay. All right. Then we have a listener named Taylor who felt like that this week was a bit of a sleepy episode of Survivor this week and wanted to talk about it.
Lazy Wednesday, Kagonging episode is a snooze. Except the challenge that Navidi Beach was gonna lose. But wait, what up, Noble? Yo, Seabass, what's Taffy? You think that you can take me?
Well, you can't!
Cause you laughy. I used to throw some rocks, so I'm confident I got this. Victory is noble, now let's mac on some chocolate. No doubt the Ponderosa is the place to get a burger. But I want those pastries like Kaplan wants Yurger. Yurger, one flag, two flags, three.
Noble does it.
I told you I'm a diamond in the rough. What else was it?
That was from the rap duo Andy Samberg and Chris Darnell Hamilton.
That was incredible. I'm definitely gonna go listen to the whole thing on the SoundCloud because that I like Kaplan loves Yurger. Wow, it's
very inspired.
Yep.
This week, Dan Senensky was also inspired by the incredible throwing of Chris Noble.
Right on the mark, he wins the game. Chris has got some good aim, good aim. Crooked and hard, but his laughs are lame. Chris has got some good aim, good aim. Chris has got some good aim.
Yes, a hit for Bon Joe Anglum.
I that was the safe choice.
Then the trifecta of Aaron, Jordan, and Amy are back. They too were impressed with that arm of Chris Noble.
We were at the challenge. Everybody was doing squats. Somebody thought it was Coach G, but then he screamed for pastries. It wasn't Big Wade. It was the Rock Tosser.
What a catchy melody from the BB52s.
I can't believe that didn't make the finals.
It's a tough week. It's a tough week to crack the finals here in the Wandoff. Then, Jess, I've got one more honorable mention for you. And all I can tell you, Jess, is that this is the most ambitious crossover event of all time.
Wow, that's not overselling it in the slightest.
Cabin douche, right?
Cabin douche, right.
What are the odds that someone becomes at Cabin Douche after tonight?
Pretty good.
Hello, it's Cabin Douche, so everybody shush! Another week, someone's gone, so we'll play this slow song and give them memoriam. Jeff just said,
try. I spoke.
You have made my life hell from day one. Get you. Goodbye.
Failure. Just general failure.
I love Cabin Douche so much.
Yeah, this is on the heels of Josh and I talking about the in memoriam theme song from The Walking Dead.
Deservedly so.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Cabin Douche. All right. Now it's time to listen to the top five Wandoff songs in the country. And this week, we'll start off with a newcomer this season, but one of the hottest new artists out there in the Wandoff. His name is Bob from Columbus. He wants to talk about that breakout character, Chris Noble.
Well, I got a ton of game and I'm a chill at ghost. Where people always cry, but I cry the most. I can't get too high, can't get too low. Gotta stay steady, not blow my load. And I'ma build alliances and whatnot. Cause I like you and you and you and me a lot. You think I'd be fooled by Dominic? To his pimp, idolize the
sun. Edit.
And arm like a cannon, I'm pretty hot. Tossing the rock and throwing mic drops. Chewing on chocolate, chilling with friends. Player gonna bond with Donovan. Dominic's lies are nothing but slander. I'm like Coach Cross with Zoolander. I'm the noble one. My chest is swole. I'm gonna kick some ass, sucker. Cause I wanna be Chris Noble, baby.
In my empire, like I'm stopping.
Noble, baby.
Ask you one time how my cigar
I wanna be Chris Noble, baby.
In pay-per-view, you know it's a live show.
Noble, baby.
Diamond in the rough, now see me go.
That was a hit song for the artist Kid Tossing Rock.
I thought we were going to go with Kid Purple Rock.
Well, it's all about Chris Noble, so he's tossing rock. That's what he does back in college. All right.
Fair enough.
The number two Wandoff entry this week comes to us from another hot newcomer to the Wandoff scene. It's Phil T, and he's talking about, you guessed it, Chris Noble.
Get that arm ready, baby. Get ready to pull that thing, and we're running.
Dude, Chris, that throw was great. That throw was great, Chris. That throw was great. Dude, Chris, that throw was great. That throw was great, Chris. That throw was great. Oh, no! Fight, stop. Seabass is about to strike out. Cause I'm a savage with no chill. Flags race fast, it's like you stood still. I've been rubbing shoulders on the block, but the tribe didn't know that I tossed the rock. I want those mother pastries. Dunk that Danish in the coffee. That's looking tasty. The whole tribe thought that Noble was a threat, bro. The whole tribe thought that Noble couldn't rap, yo. The whole tribe thought that Noble was a fast vote. Now I got him saying, damn, Noble, that's a red throne. Now Donovan wants to wake up. We got a bond and you could take that to the bank like a Brinks truck. I'm a diamond in the rough, you see me glow. This ain't for salt and pepper, baby, but Chris Noble going beast mode. Dude, Chris, that throw was great. That throw was great, Chris, that throw was great. Dude, Chris, that throw was great. That throw was great, Chris, that throw was great.
Yeah, Chris Neebly, 2018, Wandoff.
Shout out to all my male models. I'm a male model. Don't get it twisted. Yeah. Swag. Swag, swag. Deuces.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
I think every song should have air horns.
That was the latest from the rapper Ludacris Noble.
Yeah, that was right up there. I'm glad you went for the low-hanging fruit on that one.
Very low. Very below low low.
That was below low low.
Another newcomer to the Wandoff Top 5 this week. It's DJ Burquest Takahashi.
What?
I don't know if we've also reached critical mass for millennials versus Gen X inspired Wandoff names, but here is DJ Burquest Takahashi talking about the man of the hour, Chris Noble.
I've never seen a diamond in the rough. Get excited just to win stale pastries. And now, as if that weren't enough, he's got a special song. Thinks he's the white Jay-Z. Cause then Chris Noble's like, I'm a diamond, can you see me glow low? Free show, free throws, beating the Malolo. Drop the mic. Hey, did somebody say Dr. Mike? And even Chelsea's like, I will burn you down like Melisandre. Lord of Light is gonna come for Wanda. She don't care. She lets Jenna braid Sebastian's hair. We will never see Noble.
Noble.
Toss a rock on pay-per-view. He likes himself that much, we know. He's like a different kind of coach. If he gets too tribal,
Wanda,
he'll flame out like Jimmy T.
I'm bringing him up.
Because he fits the rhyming scheme.
What a great song from the artist Lord, I mean Jeff. That is a very, very deep pull. Do you know that reference?
I do not. I'm afraid.
I take you back to Russell Swan on the original Matt Singh tribe in Survivor Philippines.
Russell, you've been going on breaking pots, talking to I don't know who, if you're talking to God.
I'm talking to God, Lord. I mean, Jeff.
Oh, my God. Hi, Jeff.
That's the low, 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 low.
That's amazing. I can't wait for next week's obvious DJ collective, DJ Figueroa Lewis. Hashtag Jessica Week.
It's happening. It's real. It's happening. Our number four song in the Wandoff this week. Last week's winner, Corey B, is red hot and is back with another entry and another spot here in the Wandoff Finals for episode number 5. He's talking this week about Stephanie Johnson and how she wants to stay in the game.
Don't vote me out. Don't vote me.
Cause I'm having a good time, it's once in a lifetime.
A superstar stranded from my tribe on Ghost Island. My edit reflects all the hearts I stole. I'm disappointed there's nothing here to find to bring the tribal to make it oh, 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 it's low. It's making Jenna cry, yeah, waiting.
Ponderosa woman so soon. Don't vote me out.
I'm a single mom, see, I'm winning it all.
Don't vote me out.
But if you need a good returnee, just give me a call.
Don't vote me out.
Cause I'm having a good time.
Don't vote me out.
Once in a lifetime, I guess they did it for my call.
Wah, 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 wah. Wanda, Wanda,
I wonder, why I wonder, why I wonder.
So beautiful, so touching. The queen stays queen.
Amazing.
All right.
All of these are amazing.
Yeah. A beautiful week in the wand off. And then our fifth and final entry this week comes from the hardest working man in wand offs, Aaron Robertson. He has not been able to strike gold with the trio of Kalish and Howard. So here he is. Back with a different partner, Nick Fishman, for a song all about what goes on Ghost Island.
Crying time. Draw the white rock that sends you out to the place with the ghost. Crying time. Sad when you don't get to play a game when you need it most. Crying time. One last shot to flirt, so make a hair braid or two. Crying time. When sea bass smelt your hair, he didn't mean weasel woo. And home. Who do they want to send home? Who do they want to send home? Send who home? Crying time, time for us to chat about who we want to send away. Crying time. Does Rabel search her bag as if she was part of the TESA? So dry up all your tears, the end is drawing near. I hope you impressed your kids. Crying time literally means the time when water falls from your eyelids. They know who they want to send home. They know who they want to send home. They know who they want to send home. Stephanie, that's who they want to send home. Yeah.
And a beautiful ballad from the band Semisonic Majorano.
Of course.
All right, and those are your top five songs this week in the Wand Off. So vote for your favorite. Go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda to cast your vote. Also, look for music videos of the top five from Jason Curtis Rivera. And just a note for the Wand Off entrance, you want to try to keep your Wand Off entries to about 1 minute long. That's the ideal sweet spot for Casey Kasem in the Wand Off, signing off. Oh, Casey Kasem, thank you so much again for all of your hard work in the Wand Off. Okay, great job, Jess. The listeners will have a real conundrum on their hands.
Yeah, this is a real Rafe's choice here.
A real Rafe's choice. So hopefully we can't wait to see how it's all going to play out next week. Josh Wigler will be back here. He'll actually be here with me in the studio coming up on Easter Sunday. So we will actually be recording the Wand Off 1 day early next week. So Josh and I will be together in person. So if you are submitting for the Wand Off for this coming episode, for episode number 6, you can go ahead and get started early because we're going to be recording that sometime on Sunday afternoon. So get those in 1 day early. Just make sure that anything comes in Monday, maybe we can put it up on the SoundCloud, but that's it. Okay.
Okay.
Jess, what a nice time here in the Wiggle Room today.
Yeah, I think it was good. We only minimally disturbed Josh's things.
Yes. Okay. Hopefully he comes back and doesn't feel like we moved anything, and that'll be all set. Cool. course, if you want to hear more of Jess and I talking about stuff, you can go ahead and check out our podcast about this week's Walking Dead. We'll be back together again that same said Sunday night, and we'll talk about everything going on in the world of The Walking Dead as we close out season 8 of The Walking Dead, just 3 weeks left of The Walking Dead proper before Fear the Walking Dead comes back. Jess, are you pumped up for Fear the Walking Dead?
You know, I'm surprised to hear myself say it because this is something I never thought I would say. But yes, yes, I am pumped for Fear the Walking Dead. Come at me, bro.
Yes. They're calling that Morgan going to Fear the Walking Dead the second most ambitious crossover event of all time, right after Cabin Douche's Wandoff song.
I think that's about accurate.
Yeah. So, okay, be on the lookout for that. Of course, follow Jessica Leese on Twitter. She is at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Of course, all of the Wandoff tracks, the honorable mentions, and more are up on the playlist on SoundCloud for all of our patrons. Find out more information about that at robhaswebsite.com/patron. I am off to Reno on Tuesday, so hope to see a bunch of you out there in Reno, Nevada at the Pepper Mill for Run It Up Reno coming up Wednesday night. No live know-it-alls after the East Coast, but we will be live and streaming the show on Wednesday night for the Pacific version of Survivor. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Oblivious to the hexes and the curses that all came before. Clawing my way to the shelter, I lost myself when I crashed on the shore.